Daniel Cramer is one of a number of hot young directors who are currently taking London by storm. His revival of Hair is opening at the gate in a couple of days' time, and at the moment he looks fairly panicky as rehearsals and previews are beginning to take over. Daniel, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you very much.
First question I'd like to ask is a really simple two-word question. Why Hair?
I grew up in Wadsworth, Ohio, which is about 20 minutes from Kent State University, where the very famous shootings were of the hippies in 68, I believe. And, or 65, sorry, I don't know the exact date. And a lot of my teachers and a lot of the people in the community where I grew up were involved with that. And Hair was therefore part of my childhood. I was aware of the movement. I was aware of the music. I grew up loving theater and musical theater, so I knew the songs as well. And when I saw the Abu Ghraib imagery about 2 years ago now, I thought, that's a springboard for a totally new version of Hair. So that's why Hair now.
Is your Hair still set in the mid-1960s, or have you updated it at all? Are you regarding it as a piece of nostalgia, or as very much a contemporary work?
Very much a contemporary work set in 2005, which has, I hope, many resonances with 1968, but it is completely set in 2005.
The music, though, is still the Age of Aquarius?
Age of Aquarius. But what's fabulous about the Age of Aquarius in particular is that this actually is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, 2004. 2000 was the first, 1999 was the first, was the actual Age of Aquarius, the beginning of the age, from what most astrologers believe. And this, so that song, from our point of view, works very well because it's just 2004. There's thousands more years to the end of the Age of Aquarius, so, and we have changed some lyrics to certain songs. Some, not very many. But we've updated a couple of lyrics that we felt essential. But again, especially in some of the music, we are interested in the resonance between 1968 and 2005.
I think that you are about 26 at the moment, so...
28. Though I was very kindly called 26 by the Observer, so...
Maybe. Yeah, I think that was what I found.
No, I'm saying maybe 26 is more attractive, I suppose. It makes me seem younger, but I'm 28.
So this is very much history and prehistory for you. Are you expecting audiences to be young people who are in their 20s, or do you think there'll be people who remember Hair first time around who are in their 50s and 60s and are coming back to it expecting something from there?
I would say most of our audience in the past week and a half have been... 60% people who saw the original production and love the show and want to see what we did with it and have been so supportive of the updates and loving the attempt. Whether or not it's successful is up to them to judge. And then a lot of people who don't know the show at all. I wouldn't say necessarily young kids, meaning 14, which is an audience that I'm very interested in having see the show, which we're going to have a few schools come, I should say. But I would say most people actually are familiar with the show and are coming to see a piece that they love versus people who have never heard of the piece who are just coming to see it for the first time.
Is that clear? Okay. That was clear. It's interesting because the gate potentially could easily draw in a young crowd for this kind of show. It's interesting that it is actually getting the old hippies, I suppose.
Well, I think that I've only been at the gate for over a year now, under Thea Sherrock's artistic direction, or with Thea. And I think a lot of our audiences are more art house audiences from the local borough, you know, people who also love to go to the Alameda and the Don Mar and the Royal Court upstairs, which is thrilling, but I don't know that we yet attract, and we're clearly hoping to with Hair, as I hope to do with Voidsec, a younger, poppier audience. But I think the word has to get out there first, hopefully in the press and in the public, that it is a really young, poppy show. And it is. But, you know, it's really built for a young audience as well.
Well, it's also an extremely young company at the gate now because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you and Thea, your associate director here now, Thea Sherrock, who runs the place and also doing a lot of freelance work, and Tally Pellman, who's producer. My guess is that none of you are over 30, so...
All under 30, it's true. But I think that's... Well, I know that's where the gate began, I think in 1979, that almost everyone has been under 30, and almost everyone who comes here only stays for about 2 to 3 years. And it is, it's a it's an exploration ground. It's a discovery ground for young artists who, it's, you know, it's very difficult to do a piece of fringe theater in any city, in New York, London, anywhere. Just to, you know, fringe production can cost up to £12,000. And so suddenly to have a theater which is focused on young artists doing very unique pieces of work that is funded primarily by the government and by donors, many of whom we just mentioned, who are our audience, is a piece of gold for an artist our age. So, but again, only something you can handle for about 3 years, and then you just, there's no energy left.
Well, in New York, I think 12,000 they'd be begging for. I think it's kind of 100,000 for Off-Broadway, and even some of the off-Broadway.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's very, very, very kind of you. I mean, suggesting that the gate is in that realm of an off-Broadway theater in a way.
I think in terms of producing house, it probably is. In terms of kind of budgets and audiences, it's another matter. But the gate is very much up there to me.
It's very, very kind. I mean, that's very kind. That's all I'll say. It's very kind. I mean, I was in New York in 99, 2000, and 2001, and because I'm obviously from America, and you can do the absolute fringe theater in New York for very, very cheap as well. I mean, it still would cost about £5,000. I think my first show in New York was $5,000, which is £2,500. It's true, but the space was donated, and it's just a different system over there, isn't it? But the gate is rare, in that even if it is, as she was saying, equivalent to an off-Broadway theater, which is so kind, no off-Broadway theater employs people who are all under 30 to run the entire theater. And that's what I think is thrilling about it, is that it's a lot of, are we kids, are we young adults, in a room trying to figure out, A, what we want to say, and B, how we can say it. And that's what Hair especially is a group of young people on stage trying to find their voice.
This is the first musical you've done in this country. I don't know if you've done anything in the States. Have you found it easy to adapt to that medium?
I started off doing musicals. I started off acting and singing in musicals and dancing, and then when I first started directing at university in Chicago, I first directed 3 musicals, and then I left them completely and just focused on devising, which is something I love very much. And then last year I worked with Trevor Nunn on Woman in White, and it was, you know, wonderful to return to the art form after so many years away from it. And I mean, Hair is a unique musical. Do you know what I mean? It's not like doing Oklahoma, I don't think, or The Woman in White, or The Phantom of the Opera. It's impressionistic, it's abstract, it's young in the best way, it's naive in the best way, it's innocent in the best way. And so it was a completely different challenge than Through the Leaves or Voidsack. But within the area that I'm passionate about, which is the collision of action and movement and music, I love the kind of pop theater. So it's been a wonderful challenge that only the gate could do, I think.
I'm also interested to see how you get, I don't know how big the cast is, it's sort of 10 or 11 people? 16 people. How are you actually going to fit them in? It's almost as big as the audience.
Wait till you see the space. Wait till you see how we've used the space. That's the great thing about the gate, is it's a chameleon, isn't it? And we've used the space, I believe, in a way it hasn't been used for a very long time. And actually, there's twice as much performance space as there is audience space. It's huge. It's larger than most West End proscenium would be in terms of width.
That fascinates me.
I know, just wait. It's like a magic box, isn't it, the gate? But subsequently, the audience, wherever you sit in the audience, you have a very, very individual experience of the show, which ties in with the show's theme, primary theme of individuality.
I think that's also a theme that's occurred since, well, it did occur before, but since theatre took over, it has been the most flexible space, all kinds of amazing use of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can't speak for Thea, but certainly in Voidsack we actually used the space in quite a traditional end-on way, but the actual design of Voidsack was about transformation, was about how can you create 15 locales with an object, or 5 objects. And then Tejas Verdes was, for me, the most magical transformation of the gate space ever. You entered an enchanted forest. And Hair is about creating the illusion of huge space for giant choral dancers. And I don't know what's going to happen with Emperor Jones, but I'm sure Richard Hudson and Thea are creating something fabulous. But I think Thea is, as the gate began in 1979 is so interested in the innovation of design and the use of space. It's, you know, it's an experimental box. That's why we're here. And again, that's such a privilege to be our age and to have the Arts Council and some really, really generous patrons say, yes, experiment, even if that means failing, which is the scariest thing. But I suppose, you know, it's too a bit expensive to go failing in the West End, isn't it?
For those who didn't see it, Tejas Verdes was an amazing experience which took place in a wood in the dark. Effectively, one was transported to Chile amongst, I think it's called Los Desparecidos, and it was amazing.
Forest of birch trees.
Let's take you backwards through your career a little bit. Before that, you did Wojciech, which was also with Thea here, and then before that, it was Through the Leaves, which starred Sir Simon Callow, as I think I ought to call him, and Anne Mitchell.
Commander Simon Callow. It's true. That started with Thea as well.
Yes, at Southwark.
At Southwark, and then went to the Duchess for a brief run in the West End.
That must have been amazing for you, because you started off at another tiny theatre, the Southwark Playhouse, and all of a sudden you were transported into the West End. Anne Mitchell got a nomination for, I think it was, an Evening Standard Award.
And the Olivier.
And yeah. How did this take off? Were you expecting it?
No, when I first met Thea, I wanted to do another piece, and she said that piece would never, once I saw Southwark Playhouse, I'd never seen it, she said find another piece, and I saw the floor of Southwark Playhouse, which is this, the old Southwark Playhouse, which is this beautiful wood floor, and I said, I want to do a play about pigs. And Franz Xaver Kurtz has always been one of my absolute favorite authors, he and Tennessee Williams. And I approached Anne about the piece, and she was initially very not thrilled about it. And then Simon read the piece and said he wanted to do it, and then we reapproached Anne together and peer pressured her into saying this would be a great role for you to play, however dark and ugly and painful it might be, it's an amazing role. And as with every show you do, you know, it was built for Southwark Playhouse, there was no intention to go beyond Southwark Playhouse, and we were very lucky that it got such positive response. I mean, we're so lucky for such an obscure, dark, complex little play. And then going to the West End was a fabulous bonus and learning curve. I mean, had I known then what I know now, I would have probably said absolutely not, unless they'd allowed me to completely redesign it and give me a full re-rehearsal period. But I was just so overwhelmed with stars in my eyes that I thought, oh my God, yes, we'll make it work. And it was great. It was beautiful. It was a totally different show in the West End on one level, but it needed to become a completely different show. That being said, the producer who took it in, Kim Poster, was so generous to take it in, because no one in their right mind would have put money in that for a six-month run in the West End. It's just too obscure of an art house piece. But it was... I was just lucky.
It would be silly to ask whether you'd like to see Hair in the West End, because I can guess the answer to that. Is it actually feasible to transfer this production?
No. That, in a way, that's what I'm saying, is that, A, I've built it completely for the Gate. I've cast it for the Gate. I've designed it for the Gate. I've adapted it for the Gate. I mean, it's... I think some of it's highly risky material that I don't think would ever necessarily work in the West End. And... If the interest was passionate enough after reviews, which, let's be frank, it really depends on the reviews, and people said we would like to put it in the West End, there would have to be a big discussion about, well, what would it be in the West End? It would have to be bigger, maybe even a larger cast. The adaptation would have to shift a bit. I just don't know that mainstream audiences from around England or the world who are coming to the West End would swallow certain questions that we're asking. I'm not saying I would want to compromise it, but I can't imagine any producer who I've met not saying, don't you think that part should shift a little bit? And I'm not saying that's bad or good, but I do think it would have to be a new production.
You're certainly making this production sound very interesting. What do you have do you have anything lined up? What do you have lined up next?
I move to Stratford on Sunday, and I have a 5-week workshop, research and development workshop, beginning with the question of why is it that the world gave so much to the tsunami, and more recently the hurricane, events which we actually have no responsibility for, versus events such as AIDS in Africa, or the starving in Africa, or the war in Iraq, which we are completely and totally capable of taking responsibility for. Why is it that these natural disasters have garnered such charitable response, whereas man-made disasters seem to be a lower priority for us. So that's 5 weeks of exploring that. And after that, I have no idea. I've got two shows in development with Sonia Friedman, who produced The Woman in White, which is we're hoping to do in the West End eventually, but they're both, you know, they're actually quite small straight plays, but they're, you know, that's a big deal in the West End, and there's a lot of development time and casting, as I'm learning. It kind of depends on when the famous person is available.
Do you want to give us a few clues as to what these plays are about? Are they revivals? Are they new plays?
One is a revival of an extremely successful play that I think began at the Royal Court. That's all I'll say. And the other one is would be the UK premiere of an American adaptation of a very, very famous and well-respected French novel. That's all.
Keep
I'll
going.
No, I can't. I don't know, because there was this hysterical article in the Evening Standard yesterday that I was directing Nicole Kidman and Hedda Gabler, which I was delighted to read. It's not true, but I shan't spread rumors, because it might all fall through. The only thing I know that is signed on the dotted line is the RSC workshop, which I'm ecstatic about getting involved with the RSC. Really, really, really. I think it's, you know, as an American, it's just a life goal to work with the RSC and the National and the Donmar and the Almeida. But I have to wait, I think, for those, because, you know, I've got a lot more growing to do as a director.
Have you done any Shakespeare yet? You haven't in England, I don't think.
I did a production of Romeo and Juliet at a festival in Lebanon, which then came here for like a week, which was the most painful experience of my life. Romeo and Juliet, that's it. I did go to university in Chicago, where Chicago Shakespeare is kind of one of America's largest Shakespeare houses, and I did an internship there and directed a production of Romeo and Juliet, and Shakespeare was a really big part of my undergraduate education and is one of my biggest passions. I love Shakespeare, especially the tragedies.
Thank you so much.
So I'm looking forward. I actually am going to do Shakespeare in 2007 for the RSC. I'm doing a touring production of Hamlet, which I'm already working on.
That sounds very exciting. Do you know who's playing Hamlet yet?
No. I'm not going for someone famous. It's, you know, that's one of the luxuries of doing the tour, is I don't have to have the world's greatest box office name. I'm going for a young actor who, I've got two boys who I'm really interested in working with, who I'm talking with already about it, because I'm doing quite a severe adaptation of the whole thing.
Does that mean shortening it a lot?
You got it. I would say chopping it in half, if not more. I'm really interested in continuing to explore, I don't know, this idea of pop theater, of action theater, of theater which gets 13 and 14 year olds who would normally sit at home and play a video game or watch MTV thrilled about live.
Did you by any chance see Calixto Bieto's Hamlet at the Barbican maybe 2-3 years back? Because that is a young people's Hamlet. That was just wild.
I didn't. Who was that?
Calixto Bieto. He's Catalan from Spain.
I saw his McBee.
That's right, yeah. The year before he did a Hamlet.
I saw his McBee, which I thought was very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Personally, I thought the Hamlet was even better, but he's tremendous.
I'm so sad I didn't see it. How interesting. No, I'll have to see if there's a video of that. His work is very interesting. I mean, very inspiring. We don't see stuff like that in England very often, do we?
He comes along occasionally. In Edinburgh, actually, the Edinburgh Festival will program him once every couple of years, and that's normally the best opportunity.
I mean, I'm such a grateful fan of BITE. Yeah. You know, having come from New York, which only has BAM, which has the New Wave Festival every fall for like 3 months. I mean, living in London is a dream come true in terms of the amount of international work you receive.
They've also got the Young Vic program there, which has got Robert Lepage at the moment.
I love Robert Lepage. Actually, Tony Guilfoy, who's playing the lead in that right now, was in our Wojtek that we did last year. He was our doctor. So we're very happy.
Okay, I think since you told me you wanted to finish about 10 minutes ago, I would just say thank you very much indeed. That's been absolutely tremendous. I'm really looking forward to seeing this production now.
Cool, thank you very much. I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that other people will enjoy it too, and that, you know, we'll extend it so more people can see it.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.